Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hello. As you can tell, I have my horror voice on and also my sinus infection voice.
So scary.
So scary. This is our Halloween show.
Halloween.
And we're going to express.
I know you're just messing with me now.
In a very scary voice, right? You're going to try.
Ooh.
All you need
Did
to
I
know,
ever scare you when you were a little kid?
Oh, I've got stories. I'll share one story with you guys right now.
Just being your mom was scary.
Yeah, exactly. I was fucked up. No. You know, it's interesting because what I thought we'd do today is kind of share some of the paranormal stuff that we've gone through.
Mm.
The real life scare stuff.
Right.
And then the scary stuff that you were young parents, you and Dad were.
Yes.
And recently we were talking about being a young family, and I saw you guys always were, you know, we always had a good time. And then Dad said, oh, your mother always made it fun to be parents. And I thought to myself, that's right. She did. She made an effing Olympic challenge to make it fun, not to have a fun family.
Right.
Make it fun to be a parent. Now, let me express that. Now, do you get the nuance of that, Mother? Do you hear the nuance?
Well, I heard David Letterman because I've been watching him on Netflix.
Yeah. Okay.
And he was talking to Kanye. He mm-hmm. was in Kanye's closet, which is bigger than our home.
Okay.
And he said, you know, here's what I don't want, Kanye, as Kanye's dressing him. He says, I don't want to be an old guy trying to look cool.
Yeah.
I want to be a cool old guy.
I get the nuance.
And I think that's the nuance.
That's the nuance. So, yes, you weren't trying to have a fun family. You were trying to have it be fun to be a parent. And so here's setback 1974.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the drive-in. I believe I'm 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My Uncle Steve is with us. Mom and Dad, Greg and me, Uncle Steve. And for whatever reason, you felt it was appropriate to bring a 3 and a 4-year-old to see The Exorcist at the drive-in.
Why not?
Right. And so it's only about a little kid, a little older than me, getting possessed by the devil. But I think you felt like this would be something fun to do with the family.
It could be a lesson.
Now,
a good teachable lesson.
Yes, of what not to do. Because, you know, you also said previously in my childhood, you would say, look, children, at the alcohol beverage print ads.
Right.
Do you see the skull and bones in the ice cubes?
Right.
They are programming you that you have a death wish to drink this alcohol.
And so you no longer see that because they no longer allow that.
They no longer allow it. We are now, they're a little more.
You were a little bit ahead of the curve.
Now they have like George Clooney selling agave tequila, you know, I mean, like, give me a break. It's all hip to be, you know, hip to be drunk now.
Yeah.
With, you know, okay, whatever. So anyway, so that in itself, 74 with the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you had given, and I remember this specifically, you had given your brother Steve a little nudge to go get some popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a conversation was going on before the popcorn, but I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But later I realized it was to then scare the living crap out of the two kids hiding in the back seat, fear for what they are seeing on the screen. You know, so Steve comes up, mm-hmm. bangs on the door window and goes, ah! And we're like, oh my God, kicking the doors, crying. Oh no, the devil's here. Now, in hindsight, we go, oh, fun for the parents, traumatizing for the children.
Yeah.
Now, and oops. I will say a couple other things because, like I said, fun for the parents. Mm-hmm. You bought us really lovely wallpaper for our bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember what it was?
Well, Greg had Ziggy.
Yeah, but we had bunk beds. So
right.
I literally had a ghost living in my room. So I would sleep in the bunk bed with Greg.
Right.
And so, yes, we had Ziggy wallpaper, the
right.
world according to Ziggy.
Yes.
Now, if you remember Ziggy, what was Ziggy's biggest problem?
Ghosts?
No, he had a low self-esteem. And so literally all these mantras on our wallpaper in the bedroom, we would read over before and over again
before your bed,
was talking about having low self-esteem. I'm like, mother, and I'm sure you're like, we've got to break these children somehow. I don't know how I'm going to be able to, how am I going to
What were some of Ziggy's quotes? Do you remember?
I had to look it up because I remember thinking that, poor Ziggy, he's so sad, and I wanted to look it up beforehand, but I look it up now. It's like, one was like something like, it always rains on my birthday or something like that.
Just well, you're on your bunk bed, you used to cry over Ziggy's quotes. Greg used to write, fuck you, Ziggy.
Yeah, that's right. Because he was a Van Halen loving, rebel. I'm like, poor Ziggy. Why is he so
Why does
bad?
It always rain on his birthday?
Exactly. Ziggy quotes cartoon. Let's see. Is Ziggy M? Let's hopefully give me the right Ziggy. Yeah, they do. Let's see if they give me the right Ziggy. We'll see.
I'll tell you what, though. That wallpaper wasn't cheap.
Things to do or not today. And then he goes, there's a lot less pressure in things not to do today.
That'll motivate you.
Yeah. Exactly. And, life's a trip and it doesn't come with a map. Wisdom comes with age, but sometimes it's an optional feature. I love that. Now, get this. So think of your childhood. Now, I'm not talking like 15, 16. This is ironic.
Right.
I'm very emotional. I'm wearing black clothes all the time.
Right.
This is ironic.
Right.
No. This is 7-year-old kid, 5-year-old kid, 6-year-old kids in a bunk bed, literally learning how to read through the quotes in the mind of Ziggy.
Yeah.
low self-esteem. It's frightening to think that we weren't taken away from you.
Especially since you had the ghost living in your bedroom.
Yeah, I will tell you about that because we're going to talk about some supernatural stuff that happened in our shit. And I'm going to tell you. But here's the next one. Getting up in the middle in the morning is a case of mind over mattress. Ah, that's so funny, Ziggy. I had catfish for dinner last night, and now they're both mad at me. Catfish for dinner. I don't get it.
That's great.
Things to do today, finish yesterday's list. That was probably one that was on our thing.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for procrastination, but that's just because I haven't had time to think of one yet. Yeah, see, that's it. It's the insidious way of my mind being programmed by Ziggy that you're less than okay. Nothing will ever work out. Don't even try. You'll barely get your list done, but you're a trier.
Yeah.
Like I have, there's nothing more horrible for me at this age to go through old journals and have like 2001 wish list.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, my 2008 God.
2008 wish list.
Yeah.
Same as 2001.
Yeah, exactly. The same old wish list, right?
It's like your vision board and Kanye's vision board.
Yeah. Kanye said 4 years ago he was $50 million in debt. Mm-hmm. Now he's worth $5 billion, $300 million in cash.
The rich get richer.
Yeah. And
they're also lucky.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I like Sam Harris, because he always says you could have the exact same situation and your results not transfer to somebody else. Yeah.
Results are not typical.
Yeah. But with Kanye's world, it is typical.
Yeah.
That's just how he is.
Because I only think positive thoughts.
Right. I'm like, dude, so do I. And mixed him with a little Ziggy. A little bit of being afraid of being possessed by, Now, I will repeat
this. But you have to believe, a little dose of fear in a child is okay, don't you think?
Well, it tells good stories.
Yes.
I mean, certainly the kids nowadays don't have stories to share because there's nothing. Their parents are all perfect.
Their parents have to say to them, by the time they get up in the morning and to the time they go to bed, you got to say, I love you at least 150 times.
Just in case you forget.
Yeah. Not really. Hey, you better eat your peas, but I do love you.
But I do love you.
Yeah.
I love you. Now, the other thing is.
Now please don't stab me with that knife. But, remember, I do love you.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you as I'm putting you out in time out.
Yes,
I
love you.
You and Dad discussed how much you loved Greg and I as you bought us a Victorian doll and then chose to move it all around the house and say, oh, was that doll always here?
Yeah, well, why did you move that doll?
Why'd you put it down the kitchen table, Julie? I didn't. Well, why is it there now? And you're like, oh my God, why is the doll moving in the middle of the night? I don't know what's going on. Huh? Oh, because my parents are messing with me, because their main philosophy is, as Dad would say, your mom always knew how to make parenting fun. not how to make our childhood fun, how to make parenting fun.
There's like you said, there's a new one.
There's a new nuance. Yeah. It's a brilliant nuance. Yeah. And if more parents if more parents embraced that nuance, what would happen is more parents would stay together. You'd have less girls on the pole. And your kids would still like you, but fear you a little bit more.
Just a little bit.
A little fear goes a long way.
Because John would ask, you would ask Greg and you, which parent did you fear the most?
Oh, be you.
And be me. Yeah. Probably Greg would say that too.
Yeah. Would you agree with that?
I would hope so.
Well, only because too, Dad was out being the cowboy trucker that he was.
Well, also Dad had to be the good guy.
Right.
There has to be a good guy and a bad guy.
Right. And you willingly chose to be the bad guy because it was such a so out of your ballpark.
Yeah, somebody had to do it. For the love of God.
Well, you know, I remember one time too, went to drive in. And
well, we used to have our fun too with your Uncle John. We took him to the drive-in one time.
Yeah.
He'd think he was in like freshman year in high school.
Yeah.
But we went and got him. He wanted to know what it felt like to get drunk, you know?
Yeah.
And so we bought two bottles of Boone's Farm Apple wine and a large pack of black and red licorice.
Yeah.
And, you know, we took him to the drive and we go, just go at it, John. Oh, you know, you're with us.
Yeah. What
you
could know, happen?
What could be?
I say this to John, because the story goes when Dad and you first met, like you took him to your house the first time.
Yeah.
You know, literally John's in a tree throwing rocks at him.
Right.
You know, he's what could happen? I don't know. What happens when a psychopath gets drunk?
He throws up all over your car.
There you go.
All over your car.
And this is the 70s, so shit goes down.
Yeah.
And we're all like, oh, we got an underage kid drunk. Like I said, it's amazing you guys they're in jail now. You can't see the problem is.
Well, also too, like you didn't do those things. At the drive-in, you didn't even. I don't know how many times you went in the trunk, right?
Yes. And well, because they really wouldn't let you in radar movies,
correct?
And that was not how we're Americans. we are God-fearing Americans.
In our minds, we're free.
Yes. Red, white, and blue is tattooed on our back.
That's
we have the freedom to bring our to a heavy R-rated movie that can scare the shit out of them.
Yeah.
We have the right to do so.
And so we parked in the back and unlifted the trunk and
we would scootle out.
Yes.
And one time back there, and it might have been the time of The Exorcist too, I'm not sure. Mm. But just because the car was, it was steaming up because there was like eight people in there. No, just mom, dad, me, Greg, and probably Steve or John.
Yeah.
And we were on top of, you put me on top of the roof.
Yeah.
But somehow during this process, you forgot.
Oops.
That I was on top of the roof.
Oops.
I remember driving and I remember being on the
roof. It wasn't because we had been drinking.
No.
That'd be wrong.
That'd be highly irresponsible for the 70s for still drinking and driving. Yeah. No, because you would never drink and drive drunk.
Right.
But
Buzzed.
And now they've changed the rules.
You can't drink and drive buzzed.
And you can't drink and drive at all, really.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, because, oh, damn, that's right. Listen, I say this only in laughing matter because we survived.
Yeah.
We survived no seatbelts.
Exactly.
We survived. I mean, there are times when we were tired, you say, just go ahead, sleep in the, because the old cars had this space in the back window, right?
Big.
Where you just could,
it was a bunk.
It was a bunk.
Yeah.
It would
pillow,
be,
blanket.
Yeah, pillow and blanket.
Sun on you.
If an accident occurred, we are nothing but a missile flying through the windows. But that was okay back then.
Yeah.
Not all of us survived that time. Well, some of us did.
Greg was in the front seat one time and had to make a fast stop.
Yeah.
And his nose went and got caught on the air conditioning.
Oh, that's right. He's got a scar there today.
He's got a scar. But luckily, it happened right in front of the hospital.
Yeah, luckily.
And we just walked right in and they sewed him up, and they said, don't let him, you know, scratch his nose. And literally, by the time I got him back in the car,
it was scratched.
He pulled the stitch out. I went, I'm not going back in there and do that all yeah, over again.
You bought that, Greg. Yeah. That was your dealio.
Well, you're going to look so cute, Greg, with the scar on your nose the rest
character.
Of your life.
You're always into yeah. character building.
But love you.
Love you. Love you, my children.
Love you.
We love you. Well, that's the thing. When you're having kids.
Who needs a Halloween horror story when
well,
you're doing this?
No, because when we bought, you bought your first home. I don't know how old we were, but we were young. I was went to kindergarten.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
five, six, seven. And I went for 3 years in a row because I was so stupid. Kindergarten. but anyway, this we don't know for sure, but we think someone died in this house. But we don't know for sure. But what right. I do know is that one night mm-hmm. in the middle of the night, I literally heard demonic screams under my bed. I was so frightened I couldn't move.
You were frozen.
I froze. Right. I froze only hearing demonic sounds. Mm-hmm. And then I fell asleep and I woke up the next morning. Thank the Lord Jesus. And then now, so you think, oh, that's just the imagination of a child. Now, one time, you and Dad literally called the police
right.
because you were hearing footsteps walking around.
100%.
You called the police.
Yeah.
And it sounded like somebody picked up the other line.
Which was upstairs.
Because at that time, everybody had landlines.
Right.
And then they like, is somebody upstairs? Like, no. And they rushed over. And
not only did they rush over, they sent the fire department.
Why would they send the fire
ambulances.
Department?
We had like eight vehicles out in front
Ghostbusters came. We weren't sure. But they probably figured, well, if we brought the whole team,
yeah.
it scared the shit out of the guys who were in the house,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Now, but I have to admit this, during this time,
that really was that, you know, it really was like that movie that's coming from
inside the
house.
Exactly. And we didn't live far from John Wayne Gacy. I mean,
right.
there was a lot of shit going down.
He was like our neighbor. No,
in a broad sense.
Yeah.
Very broad sense.
Not very broad.
No. 30 miles.
Yeah.
Within 30 miles. Yeah. So it's a possibility that we ran to this clown once or twice.
Right.
You know. Okay. So, but so that did happen. You called the
yes,
police.
Yes.
They came over. Yeah. They only said, you know, everything sounds fine, but we'd like you to keep up with your housework.
Yeah. That was the most embarrassing thing is that they had to see my shame.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't horrible,
but you were in your 20s with two young kids
yeah.
and it was just like a free for all. And
I can remember having company, you know, your aunt and uncle just call and say, hey, we've come up from Litchfield
yeah.
and we're going to be there in about 3 hours. And I was all by myself.
Yeah.
I remember just going in the garage, trying to find something in the garage, first
yeah.
of all, and getting a broom and just taking everything and sweeping it under the beds.
Oh, lovely.
Well, that was the only way I could get the house clean in time.
And it's so, because you had to do everybody's room.
Yeah.
And see, it's interesting because that Christine is not Christine of today.
No.
No, we have in our garage, we have a car, two cars, a golf cart, you know.
We have room. Yeah.
You know, previously, our other garage was just really a storage unit.
For daddy-o. Yeah.
And then at some point, you get older and you're like, I can't take it.
Well, I threatened to leave your father.
That's true. It was either
me or his junk.
Well, that's what she said.
That's what she said.
It's either me or the junk. I don't know. So now I have a specific memory in this house as well. It was a raised ranch. Greg and I were probably 15, 16, mm-hmm. maybe a little younger because we probably couldn't drive yet. Mm-hmm. So maybe 12, 13. You were out with Dad in the semi and we literally are hearing noises upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I go, what the fuck is going on? And I grab a knife, and we had already, you know, blown our chance with the cops. They're not
yeah.
coming again.
Yeah.
But I'm the older sister. I must yeah. protect my brother.
Yeah.
And I
grab
a knife.
This. Yeah.
And it's wintertime, so it is cold. But we decide, and there's no cell phones, right? So we have no idea when you guys are coming home.
Mm-mm.
We know you'll be home.
Mm-hmm. But some point.
At some point. Yeah. And that's the weird part. Back then, you just kind of released your worry.
Yeah.
Like, if something happens, someone will tell us.
Yeah.
But now, if people don't call in 5 minutes, we're all like, what happened?
Yeah.
What's going on? No. We had hours without knowing where our parents were.
Right.
Sometimes days. No, that wasn't the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I grabbed grabbed Greg and I said, I can't take any more of this noise upstairs. Yeah. I go, I can't take
I'm
it.
I'm going to go upstairs and...
No, I didn't say that. Oh. I said, we're going outside for a while.
I remember that.
And so you probably came home and I'm like, why are all the floodlights on the house? What's going on?
You were sitting outside with a fork. Or no, Greg had a fork.
I'm sure I didn't get a fork.
And you had a knife.
Yeah. I'm hoping. No, but you know, we did have one of those big wooden forks. I can totally imagine going, grab that from the wall. I'm going to fork you, you demon. In the name of Jesus Christ, this has been sanctified. This wood is sanctified. And so
holy water on this wood.
And so we graciously left that house eventually.
Yes.
10 years later. Yes. So, you know, they always say, I mean, if those things happen
continuously. But we were able to live with that. And the people that bought the house, I think they weren't even there a year.
They left really soon.
They had to leave very soon.
I'm curious because of the noise and all the other stuff. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when you had, during that house, you had Steve live with us for 6 months. And John lived with us for a while.
Yes.
And when John lived with us, I remember waking up in the middle of the night smelling like the house, something was on the fire. Mm-hmm. I looked around, and the last thing I wanted to do, though, because I'm a young kid, is wake up anybody. Because it's like the first thing that's going to come out of their mouth, not if I woke up Dad. Dad would have been like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. But if I would have woken up you or John, I would have gotten like, what the fuck's going on? Like, what are you doing waking me up? What's going on? So not that I would have, but that's a fear I would have gotten.
Right.
And I go, oh.
That's pretty sharp thinking for a little kid, though.
I go, not really, because I'm smelling. I have a good nose. I've been away. I was awoken by the smell of something burning in our house.
Right.
And I looked around. I didn't see any fire. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and then the smell dissipated. Mm-hmm. Probably because I got used to it. And I went back to bed. Mm-hmm. And then we wake up, and downstairs, the refrigerator has literally caught on fire, and drapes were burnt.
Yeah, during the middle of the night.
And I said to you guys, I go, well, that makes sense. And you said, why does that make sense? Oh, because I woke up around 2 a.m. and I kept smelling this smell of fire, but I looked around and see anything.
Yeah.
They're like, why didn't you wake us up? I'm like, well, what would be the point? I go, I guess I should have. I guess in my child mind, the fear of, if I would have seen flames, then I would have woken people up.
Even a dog would have woken us up.
Yes, exactly. Even the dog. I just chose... Let people sleep. You know what? We know the importance of sleep and getting a full 8 hours. And, I feel that that would have been worse.
That was, you know, that maybe now that in retrospect, that's very common for a house that might have a spirit or two in it.
Well, and also it was a brown refrigerator. I mean that in the sense it literally looked, it was a brown refrigerator.
Yeah.
It
was as opposed to avocado.
And it might have been avocado first, or was it avocado?
I think it was avocado, and then they painted it brown.
Yes. And by this time, thank the Lord, it had its last day. Yeah, and you're like, I guess I got to buy a new refrigerator.
We bought a new used one.
A new used one.
Another one that was going to burn if we hadn't gotten out of there quickly.
Yeah, we're like, I think it's where you're at with this house now. You're thinking to yourself, either we got to move. Or we got to start putting some real money back in this house. I apologize to everybody. I'm telling true life horror stories.
Yeah.
But we've also had things happen to us that really were on, like tell the story of when you were a kid and you were taken out of the classroom by this scientist.
Oh, yeah.
I find this to be a very paranormal. We're going to go into fearful, but not paranormal.
Well, when I was like in third grade or so, it was sort of, kind of the dark times in America. And in the sense that we were told we were all going to take an intelligence test.
Yes.
And if we didn't do very good, we were going to have to get... we were going to have a surgery that would enable us not to have children.
Can you imagine being like 10 years old?
Not even
10.
Not even.
So kindergarten, first grade.
I would say more like second to third.
Second to third grade.
Yeah.
And you're told that you are all taking an intelligence test.
Yes.
And if you do poorly, they're going to prevent you from having children. Just come out and say it.
Yeah. And it wasn't that I really wanted kids at that point in time.
No, you wanted to be
like,
a nun.
Yeah, I kind of did because I saw what it was like having three younger brothers.
Well,
and my parents were like, They were not us. They were not the Cleavers.
No.
You know.
Well, it's interesting because
they were the Cleavers. They used the Cleaver.
Well, it's interesting because we hear about conspiracy theories of mm-hmm. how this is a way of preventing, you know, people from having children or, you know, killing. And I'm like, oh, this is not a conspiracy. My mom literally was told
yes.
that if she didn't do well in an intelligence
yeah.
test,
yeah.
they were going to tie her tubes.
Yeah.
So I mean, a conspiracy, I don't know.
I just didn't want a surgery.
Yeah, like, screw that.
Because like the year before, my brother had to have his tonsils taken out and he was scared. So my parents volunteered me to go with him.
I like
so I had my tonsils taken out and didn't need it.
Yeah.
And it was horrible.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
It's just wrong.
Yeah, basically.
It was the nowadays.
Yeah, nowadays, I think doctors might be disbarred for that. Is there a disbarment for that? Lawyers.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, medical board.
It's so funny because me and Dad were talking about this just yesterday
yeah.
about doctors getting disbarred. Because I can remember, at eighth grade having pimples, you know.
I don't think it's disbarred. I think it's taken away from your medical license. But you go to the medical board.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're talking
like,
about this
like
because
lawyers.
I literally just heard a podcast about the medical board in Tennessee, like on This American Life. So the idea that you're talking, that you and Dad are having a discussion about this is
very
wild.
Well, we were talking about like having to go to the skin doctor to get, you know, my sun lamp treatment for my pimples when I was like, eighth grade freshman, you know?
Yeah.
And every week I used to have a breast exam by this doctor. And I used to come home and go, Mom, I just, the guy feels my boobs.
Every
single week. And Mom goes, well, he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Just knock it off. Just shut up. And finally, I'm just like begging her.
I would
pretend to go.
Yeah. And not go.
And not go and go, fuck, I have pimples.
And you know what's really weird? Do you think your mom whored you out? Like, hey,
she was getting free.
No, you were getting free treatment for a little, you know.
Yeah.
But, and if you would have known that ahead of time, like, hey, I'm not charging your family for these treatments.
Right.
Can I touch your boobs?
But I will have to give her a breast exam every week.
Would you have allowed that? You're like, I'm going to have pimples. I don't care.
That's what I just, and I didn't know I was a good Catholic girl.
Right.
In the sense that, you know, you respect your elders.
Right.
And, you know, a doctor, oh my God, she's like a priest, you know. But anyway, go back to the story. So we took the test.
Yes.
And evidently I did really, really, really good on it.
Really good.
And it must just been luck in some sense because it hasn't borne out over the years, but
yeah, it does because you're high intelligence, but you're also high, probably rebellious and rebel
and
no
and
thing
a comedian.
Can contain you.
Yeah,
true. Yeah, like screw you off.
Yeah. So, then the nuns told me, you know, announced to the class that I had done this good and that I was going to have some kind of other test done. And so these people came to the school, and I went into a small room, and I remember sitting across from a table with there was two people there, and one the woman was, and I was supposed to guess. She was holding up big cards, and I would guess what the symbol was, on the card.
So you were doing psychic.
I was doing psychic stuff.
Now I want to tell people we are not effing joking here.
Yeah,
this is true. This is reality. This is not conspiracy.
No,
this actually happened to my mom.
Yeah, I know.
You know how weird is that? It's effing weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to do a long test like that.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I must have failed or at least not been interesting to them.
Right.
Because I don't feel anything happened.
Right.
Except that I remember that there were different courses or classes and I would have to go outside and, they would give me erasers to clap together over like we would call it a trash can, like where you would burn fire, you know, an incinerator like type thing. And I would have to do that while they had classes. And I was like, isn't that odd?
Oh my God, I didn't know this part of the story.
Yeah.
So they take you to class
and
make you create this dust with the erasers.
Yeah.
In this incinerary.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. And then you go, oh, there was something.
Something was
going
on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and during this time, too, there would be, this is at home at night.
Yeah.
This only happened maybe, I would say, two or three times.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I had my own room, and it was upstairs. And we didn't have screens on the windows or anything.
Of course not, yeah.
But, but I would remember like this blue ball coming in, like blue light
yeah.
coming in the room, and then going out, and I would get out of bed and go look out my window
yeah.
and watch it oh, go out into the sky
yeah.
and then just disappear.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple of times like that, that was all kind of during that whole time.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool. And a couple of interesting things happened. Like one time we had our school, our Catholic school fair. Uh-huh. And there was this, they were going to win this huge rabbit cake, Easter bunny cake.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, but I remember not being sick. I had diarrhea.
Mm, right.
And so I really wanted to win that cake for the right. my family. And my parents were working. And so I got out of my sick bed, you know, had diarrhea, whatever, and ran to school.
Right.
I really just took money from my parents for one ticket to go. It was like a musical chairs kind of thing. And I went and I put my ticket down and I did this thing. I won the rabbit and came home.
Like, I'm still sick, people.
Yeah, but I'm still sick.
But I got my rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then my exactly. whole family got diarrhea. You're like, oh, okay. No correlation here, people. No correlation.
So I must have been a little psychic. I remember going to the theater with my dad.
Yeah.
And it was nickel night or dime night. And so we, you know, me and my dad would go. And he got a soda. And he, in those days, you just threw your trash on the floor.
Right.
I don't know if that's. Of course.
I know that time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I remember feeling like my dad shouldn't have done that. And all through the movie, I bugged him. I go, you've got to get your glass, your cup. You've got to get your cup.
Yeah.
I just know there's something with
really
your
magical
cup.
In there. Yeah.
And he was like, finally, he was like really upset with me.
Right.
I mean, really upset. And he bent over and he got his cup and he turned it over and said, free movies for a year.
Oh my God.
And so he got to go to the movies every week for a year.
Oh my God.
That was fun.
That was fun. That was awesome.
And then there was a time very shortly after that my grandparents took me to bingo at St. Henry's Church.
Yes.
And the only reason I begged them to take me was that, of course, kids shouldn't play bingo, you know, but they allowed that in those
right.
days.
Right, allowed that, yeah.
I think I was probably 9 or whatever.
Right.
But my mom's vacuum cleaner had broke.
Yes.
And so I had one money to play one game.
Right.
And it was the one that was the vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
Was for the prize. And I won it.
And you won it.
And I won it. And I took it home to my mom.
Yeah.
And she was like disappointed because it wasn't an electric vacuum cleaner.
Oh, yeah. Because back in the day, they had vacuum cleaners that weren't electric, which I love. They're like, how does this work? Oh, because in the old days, they didn't have real dirt.
Not too bad. Yeah, not too bad dust, you know.
Not too bad.
So I was kind of like, I guess, psychic in those days.
You were. Yeah. And do you think it left after puberty? I mean, I think you're psychic. You're more of a channeler.
I think it left after I met your father.
You say that about everything. Your luck was stolen from him. But I saw a picture of his brother David was reading the book from Marie Kondo and decided to clean his house and sent us a big box of lovely memorabilia from his childhood. And in there, though, was a picture of the three boys.
Yes.
Dad and his two brothers.
Right.
And my grandmother. And he couldn't have been more than 19 years old, probably right before you.
Probably 17 or 18.
Yeah. And my God, he was beautiful.
He was a beautiful boy.
He was. And then, and I've seen him show pictures of you, and I'm like, you were attractive. And I'm like, you too were just too beautiful, and that's why I was born.
And that's why you're here, girlfriend.
And that's why I'm here. And I'm hoping to live to be 120 because I feel like I should accomplish something. I've accomplished a lot of little stuff, and I care for myself and my family. I feel like I'm a good person.
Yes.
I'm a good citizen.
Yes.
You know,
Ziggy would say that. You're a good citizen.
But I'm as Ziggy. You know, if you really would have cared for me, I would have had like Jocko rules for excelling in America instead of Ziggy's rules of just kind of falling short in the world. You know, my not to do list. I haven't thought of a reason for procrastination, but give me time. You know, I'll come up with one tomorrow. You know, all those things running through my head. You know, we also have seen, legitimately have seen UFOs.
True.
You and me and Dad in different times.
True, yeah.
I call them scary, and I don't call, but they really, I remember a lot of times I meet somebody new and we're kind of having a fun night out or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll ask the question. So what paranormal things have happened to you?
And they're like, wait, what?
A lot of people say they have no connection whatsoever with this.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, how is it possible that I have, it doesn't happen to me all the time.
Right.
But I certainly have paranormal stuff that have happened to me.
Right.
You know, one is you and I were together during this one time. We were traveling on a country road.
Right.
And we look to the northeast and we see what a lot of people have now videotaped, which is three lights in the sky getting big, coming together, forming one, breaking apart, getting big over and over and over, a lot of light play.
Right.
And this was several 25 years ago, maybe longer than that, 30 years ago.
Let's see.
Well, the houses weren't built yet, I think.
No, I don't think so either.
So it might have been 30 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. But now, we watched this for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, just like yesterday.
Frank. And then we heard that over Michigan that they had witnessed some UFO lights. And right. I thought, well, that's interesting because that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah.
But and they were kind of in that direction.
And we even called police stations.
I said, is anybody talking about UFOs in the sky? And I said, listen, we're not crazy. I go to college and my mom's a psychotherapist. We're sane. We really are. Yeah. And to think that in the year 2020, we had the pandemic. I need some iced tea.
Yes, go ahead. In the year 2020.
And then also secretively or under the radar because of the pandemic and the Trump situation, which trumps everything. And I heard some noise out in the back and I realized it's just my dog.
Yeah.
Okay. The government has said that they, first off, they came out with that, how we have evidence of that, those Tic Tacs.
The Tic Tacs. Yeah.
And the other things that our Navy pilots and Navy and Air Force have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then that I read a blurb in Scientific Journal that says we have evidence or a craft that it is made out of material not of this world. Now, those are kind of big stuff, right? Big news?
Yeah, that's just a paragraph in Scientific American.
And you're like, mic drop, boom, go on, live your life, people.
Yeah.
That's right. Trump is orange. We have coronavirus. Don't worry about the UFOs that are really here. Yeah, and no one really cares. No one talks about it. You know why? Because we still got to go up and make money and buy stuff from Amazon.
Well, well also, too, let's face it. Other planets, otherworldly things find us vastly interesting.
So we've read. So you've channeled. Well, and it's interesting because we've also, you guys heard about that one UFO that was over Tinley Park? It's a triangle.
Right.
And it was shown over Tinley Park, and it was on a weekend. At that time, I remember not hearing about the Tinley Park UFO at that moment, but like 2 or 3 years later, I heard about this incident in Tinley Park,
mm-hmm.
and it was on a weekend, and I go, oh my God, that's the exact UFO that I saw over our house. Remember,
right,
I came
right.
home, and I right. was, I had this secondary job
right.
that only occurred on the weekends at night, and I'd come home, and I would see the Milky Way, and I'd go mm-hmm. on, I always look at the sky.
What job was that, by the way?
I would go and scan magazines to see how if people were doing their jobs to rotate stuff.
Yeah.
That was a great little...
That was a gig. That was a good gig.
Yeah. And I got to give this up. It was just too much. I don't know why it was, but it just was. I think I was helping Norm more.
Yeah.
And at some point, I'm like...
Yeah, it's too much.
I'm tired, you know? And so anyway, I do that. I come home, get out of the car, look at the Milky Way. And I'm like, oh, what? I wonder if there's a satellite. You know, I see a little bright light going. Mm-hmm. And I notice, oh, there's two more dots behind it in a triangle form.
And the sky is black.
And the sky is being blacked out behind it. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And I remember it took a couple seconds, but the wave of acknowledging that this could be a UFO.
Yeah.
I run into the house, throw everything down, and I scream, there is a UFO above our house. Yeah. Now, in retrospect, that might be a little not true. Because if I said it to you, if you said it to me, I would think there would be literally a UFO right above our house.
That's exactly right.
This was, I don't know, it was 10 miles above our house, up in the sky, moving across the sky.
I would get up for the one just above our house.
You got up for this one, but you were disappointed because you couldn't find it.
Exactly.
And then because the sky was just lit with stars.
Yeah.
You really wouldn't have seen it. And I want to say this, they say like UFOs don't exist because we have so much technology and cell phones take pictures of it. I have taken pictures of weird things in the sky. And you know what it looks like? Nothing on my cell phone.
Right.
They just don't, they're not great at taking nighttime pictures or giving you the perspective of what you're really seeing. I know I do. Doug would say, but Julie, you have an iPhone 4 and we're at iPhone 12. And I'm like, you're right. As much as I see what's in the sky, I should just force myself to upgrade all the time for camera use.
Yeah.
But well, I don't, because my phone has everything on it and it just seems like a big hassle too.
Well, you're part of this trucker pod.
I am.
That looks at the sky all the time. Because they're nighttime drivers.
Yes.
And so the sky is available, the night sky. And you guys call each other 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And check things out, even though you may be in bed sleeping.
Right.
You got your pod guys
texting first. They'll text me first.
Are you up?
If I don't respond, I'm not up.
Yeah.
And like Normano has seen a red ball when he was driving the truck for an hour. He's like, what is this thing?
Yeah, and it followed him.
I remember I was with Doug and I see this red glowing light falling from the sky.
Yeah.
And the first thing I said was, I gotta call my parents. And he's like, why are you calling your parents? I go, this could be it. I need to tell him now.
This is it.
This is how slow it was falling. I mean, enough for me to like discredit Doug, like, shut up, Douglas. I don't care that you don't want me to call my parents.
Right.
This is an important event that's happening right now.
Yeah.
I see this red ball falling from the sky and I'm calling you and I don't know what's going on right now, but here's what's happening. I've got a red ball from the sky and like, they're like, okay, what should we do? I go, I don't know yet, but this is what's happening right now. Yeah. And then
soil and green is people.
I go, oh, it just vanished and disappeared. And we're still here. We're all witnessing. We're all good. So I guess, enjoy Netflix. what else can we do? We already have two buckets full of 20-year food sources in the basement.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what more we could do. I mean, what else could we do? Now you and Dad.
We also got another bucket, Julie.
Yeah.
You just don't know that yet.
So we got three buckets.
Yeah.
Thank you. So you, Dad, and me can all live each for have 6 months.
Our own bucket.
6 months of macaroni and cheese. I love it.
At some point, we're going to kick the bucket.
At some point. Yeah. Some point, we dump all that and crap in the bucket.
You turn it over.
It's a chair. And you're crapping it. You're like, oh, good to go. So then,
I liked it when they sold it as a table.
Yes.
Put a little cloth over this thing and you got yourself a table.
Well, I think that was effing brilliant. If you could design your life that on the surface, like a normal home.
Yeah.
Normal home.
Yeah.
But in reality, it was just 20-year-old food in the buckets. You're like, what the hell is this house?
Nothing's here to see, people.
Yeah.
Keep going.
This is,
keep moving.
Like, boy, your bed's so tall. Oh, it's on a tall bed frame. It's on 100 buckets of 20-year food with a mattress on top. I'm like, oh, okay. That works. Why doesn't that work? That works perfectly, right?
Exactly.
It works perfectly. I mean, think about all the wasted space you do have in a home.
Oh, come on. Negative space.
All that negative. Dining room table.
That your father will fill up if I let him.
Exactly. And so you go like, well, we're just going
to. Can I tell my quick story about
You've got plenty of time.
You have a fly on your.
I'm pensed.
It's the Pence fly.
I'm
How did
being
it get
pensed.
Here?
Oh, it's a time and space traveler. It knows we're talking about paranormal stuff.
So the night that Dad and I saw a very good UFO, really good, we were vacationing in Marco Island.
Yeah.
And so we decided to go and experience Alligator Alley, which is just a 2-lane stretch of highway that literally is nobody goes on.
Right.
And so we left around, I guess it was around about 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
And head on our way to Alligator Alley. And so maybe around 1:30, 2 o'clock, we're there in traveling this. And so we stop at this small place. It's like a pond or something. And we get out and we each have flashlights because you're supposed to be able to shine the light and see red. And if you see red, you've got alligators.
Right. Okay.
Well, we got out and we were shining our lights and all we saw was red.
And that must have freaked you out.
It was really freaky and great. And then Dad.
And great because you survived.
Yeah, yeah. But then Dad put the flashlight kind of close to him.
Yeah.
And there were some red eyes.
Oh!
And he went, he like we got in the car right away.
Yeah.
But so we were there, and there was not a car in sight or anything.
No, because the park was probably closed.
I don't even know if it was a park or whatever.
They probably said, "Jet, no one, no, only, you know, foreigners go there,
tourists,
yeah."
And so this thing goes above us, and this was like, you know, like if you said, "Oh, you have a UFO over your house,"
yeah,
and it was really like you would see. This is how close this thing was, and it was stingray shaped.
Yeah.
Oh, like if you would have, you know, from underneath a stingray, and it had lights like a bridge of lights at the very back of the stingray.
Okay.
Tail. And that was it. And it was right above us, and it was completely, completely silent.
Oh, wow.
And it just stayed there. And I could literally just look up from the, we had stopped the car.
Yeah.
And it was just right above us.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have, it takes a beat when you really get like
what's going
this
on.
This is really something happening. And then it went over the trees. And then Norm and our first instinct was to go the other way. And then we went, wait a minute. Why are we going the other way? We just saw a freaking UFO. We've got to turn around and go see this thing. And we went past the trees, and it was gone.
It was gone.
It was just gone. But I will never forget the shape of it. And that
stingray.
Was stingray. Like a.
Did it have a long tail then too, or no?
No, it didn't. It just had that kind of like shape.
Shape.
Yeah.
Like kind of roundish.
Yeah, roundish shape. Yeah.
Got it.
And
like two lobes in some sense.
I mean, I just picture it like a stingray without the tail.
Got it.
But
okay.
Instead of like where the tail would be, it was more like a straight bridge, you know, like a like a bridge of lights. I don't know how else to say it, but that's where the lights were, you know.
Got it.
But I could definitely see the outline of it and everything. Yeah. It was that, you know, clear to me.
Oh, lovely.
So that was my like closest encounter in the sense of very, very close.
Well, one time I was with Quinn, Doug, and his daughter Quinn, and her boyfriend at the time, and we were looking at that. What is that one annual meteor shower that happens in the summertime? I think it's like begins with P. I think, I don't know, but we were in Corn Country, DeKalb County, found a place where we could park, and it was pitch black. We can see for miles around because the corn was gone. Mm-hmm. So it was
past August.
It was either past August or it hadn't been growing yet. So because we had a really good vision of everything, and I remember saying. I would love to see a UFO, unidentified flying object, but I don't want to be like, I don't need to land.
Because I don't want to be scared.
I don't want to be scared. I just want to enjoy myself, but I don't want to be scared. Mm-hmm. And then literally we're seeing meteor after meteor. And we're like, well, this is really cool. And then Quinn goes, look right above us. And right above us, there is what could be a plane. Mm-hmm. But it's not a plane because the light is literally just going around in a very tight circle right above us, right, continuously. And then like a figure eight, and we're like going, okay, well, this is bizarre. Mm. Nothing is supposed to behave like this.
But then you got your little.
I did. I got my hit.
You got your wish.
I got my wish. And I wasn't afraid.
That. No.
And I just said, okay, thank you for showing us. But just remember, I asked not for you to come down.
Right. Don't land.
Just don't land. I'm cool.
Do your little light show.
And so who knows? We've been reading the Keys of Enoch. It's not light reading.
It's a little less than light reading. Yeah. A little more than light reading.
I don't know what the opposite of light reading is because this thing is so heavy that I almost feel I need to be high to understand it.
Yeah.
But the more I read it, the more I get a flavor for it.
You get like a download.
Yeah, I get a download. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, this makes sense. Oh, like it's like when you read Revelations for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I say for the first time because I've read it many times, and I'm like,
well, since you're talking about keys, do a brief thing between Kanye and the keys regarding his Gap shirts. Yes. And
okay, we got 5 minutes of the show left.
But did I have to tell my one last UFO thing,
and I will talk about Kanye at the end.
Okay, my one last UFO was Dad and I were taking a country ride. This was in the daytime too, in our MG. So it was a convertible, and just in the country, like one lane, you know, shit winding, and we see a black helicopter on a treetop,
right,
and it's. There's no sound, and it's not moving.
Mm.
It's just a helicopter. We're like, what?
What? What's going on here? Yeah.
Literally, like, what am I seeing here?
Yeah.
And so we continue on.
Yeah.
Because it's a winding road. You just can't just stop. Yeah. And right at the, as we make this turn, is like this big UPS-type van.
Mm.
And on the van it says, Hometown USA.
Hometown USA.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah, what does Hometown USA mean? Okay,
and then there's two guys that are out, and they're wearing orange jumpsuits, and they have black hair, like really dark black hair.
Yeah.
And they're very similar, and they look robotic. They're pasty, and they wave to us, almost like in unison.
Mm.
Like, and so I turn around as we pass them and look inside the van doors open in the back, and it's on the walls. It's all this, like, it looks like the inside of a spaceship, you know, all these like knobs and lights and stuff like that.
Right.
And I'm like, oh no, we just got to keep going. Cause we weren't meant to see this.
Yeah. Keep going. Don't keep going.
Yeah. Meant to see this.
Keep
at
going.
All. Just keep going. Keep going. And so when we got home, we got into our other vehicle to go back there.
Right.
And of course,
they're gone.
It's gone. Yeah.
Thank God. Right. Yeah. Thank God. Deep down, you're like,
but
thank God.
Hometown USA.
That's just weird.
Well, you know, like, I'm sure they're thinking, like, hey, what kind of innocuous thing can we put on this van?
Hometown USA.
You know, hometown. That's like, you know,
hometown.
Don't be afraid of Hometown USA.
No. Well, and I'm going to suggest if anybody likes these kind of stories and stuff like that, they're on Unexplained Mysteries, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
The first season that came out, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's an episode about you about an abduction in a small community. Oh yeah, in 1960s,
I saw that.
60s or 70s.
That was great. Yeah.
And when you see it, you're going, "What the effing hell?
Yeah, yeah.
This is bizarre.
Yeah.
This is bizarre. I got chills thinking about
it.
So you're going, "What happened here? You know, and so it's interesting. And then you're like, "Okay, well, I know this now, and what do I do with it? Nothing. Still got to go to work.
Still got to drive your semi.
Still got to buy stuff from Amazon. Go to Walmart.
Still got to
watch Netflix.
Still got to get the house ready before the mice come in for winter.
Exactly. Exactly. That's all I got stuff I got to do. You know, I got to keep doing it. So I would recommend that if you want to be legitimately scared out of your mind.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about a couple of things. Kind of give our top two list of scary movies to watch during this holiday.
Top two?
Well, just throw out some ideas.
You. How dare
you? We asked Alexa what her top 10 picks were.
Yeah, not very good.
Mm-mm. I mean, they had... Well, they had The Shining as top three.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too. That's scary in its own right. And
number
then
one was Psycho.
Not scary now.
It didn't hold up.
I don't think it holds up.
It really doesn't hold up.
Corny music. And I don't think he'd survive. I don't think, who directed it?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, I don't think he would survive the hashtag Me Too movement at all.
Mm.
From what I understand, he's a big dick. So, I could be wrong on that, but that's what I heard. And if I'm wrong, I apologize now.
Alfred Hitchcock,
I apologize. It could have just been a bad meme. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been a bad day too.
Yeah, he could have had multiple bad days.
Yeah.
And also too, back in the day, for whatever reason, a man's goal was to have money and power so that he could openly be a big dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Oh, good. I've arrived. I get to just be a dick.
You should talk really quickly about Melinda Gates then, if you're talking about power, male power.
Okay, because
it's important.
Okay, is it important? Okay, we're kind of mixing. It is important.
It is important.
But we're kind of talking
next week then.
Maybe, but okay, real quick. You know, you're watching on Netflix. This is a time we're going to review what we've seen and listened to. You were watching.
Let's just go past our hour and screw them.
No,
on BBS.
No, we got this. We get. But you were listening to
David Letterman.
No.
No introduction necessary.
That's right. And he interviewed Melinda Gates.
Yeah.
And what she, now this is scary shit. Because first of all, this idea that her and her husband are drinking blood of children is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. I didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But what she brought up, and this is what you told me, because yeah. I didn't see the interview.
Right, right.
But it is scary as hell. It's scary
David
as hell.
David said, what is the most scariest thing or pressing thing that you
he
think
he would probably
is-
say pressing. And we're going to say scary.
I said scary.
Yes. And here it is, scary. People. Listen up. That AI is getting more and more in our life. And the problem with that is that AI has a bias. And it's growing its own bias. And the bigger problem with that is that AI is only correct, is created by 98% men and 2% women. So not judging, that's just a reality.
That's what she said.
And so we,
in the future,
as our world is being more and more controlled by these analytics and these equations that are now growing and
have a mind of their own,
they first originated not by a well diverse population.
It's like, you know, when we were kids and we got programmed. Early on.
Yes.
We got programmed by some pretty...
fucked up people.
Fucked up stuff, right?
You got...
So is AI.
AI's and now it's growing really fast and
really
crazy.
Fast. Huge.
And this is why when you listen to the podcast Down the Rabbit Hole, or The Rabbit Hole by the New York Times, or you see Social Dilemma on Netflix, and or you listen to the podcast on Joe Rogan, all of a sudden you start freaking out because you realize that our life, we may have to just choose to turn it off.
We might just
have to say, you know what, guys, we're going to have to reboot and restart.
See, I think this is really important to say, to end a scary show
with reality scary.
The scariest shit of all
time. The scariest shit possible. So AI is not going to take over by turning on the nuclear warheads on.
Mm-mm.
No, they're going to take over by insidiously giving you what they think you want to watch over and over again, you to be... to be tribe-like.
Can I say
something?
Yes. They gave three people, a Republican, a Democrat, and a moderate. And they said, take your Google on your computer and put in the, just put in Egypt. And so the Republican did, and it turned up all this stuff on, I think, ISIS or something.
You're fucking kidding me.
And then the Democrat, it turned up some tellurium and a whole different thing. And on the moderate, it said, how to vacation on the Nile.
Oh, my God.
And so
each one just put one word in. Egypt. And because it already knew who you were.
Right.
It gave you what it think it would give you.
100%.
Oh, my God. I've got effing chills.
You should.
And I hope that when, if you're listening to this,
you
have chills.
Yeah.
This is the scariest shit you're going to hear on fucking Halloween.
Scarier than UFOs.
Yeah. Because.
And little green men.
And this is when you go.
And
if you start feeling.
Vomit.
Okay. If you're starting to feel paranoid, take an inventory of what's going on locally. And that starts with you. How do you feel? How can you check in with yourself? Check in with your family. Check in with your community. Like, okay, we feel really good. Like, because I'm a semi-driver and I get my loads from Joliet, I work in a very diverse community and we're all helping each other out and we're all living in harmony. And I'm like going, oh, I think the world is better than what people are telling me. Mm-hmm. And that's why on my YouTube, I only get 70s music and I get, you know, Abraham Hicks telling me how to have a better life. And I get Joe Dispenza, you can be happy now, you know, and it's like, oh, the world is good. And then if somebody else put in, you know, something else, you know, I would most likely be, I would be vacationing on the Nile.
I would, if I put in Egypt, it would give me Hercule Poirot.
Yes.
And the mystery of the Nile.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What's it called? That wasn't called. What was it really called?
I don't remember what it was called.
Nile. No. Or Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah.
No.
But the other one.
Yeah. Nile. Murder on the Nile. I don't know.
Yeah. Something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So next week, we're going to talk about Kanye West because I have a lot to unravel there.
And unpack.
Exactly. Okay, everyone. So how's the show, girlfriend?
Ooh, Julie.
Happy Halloween.
Boo! It was great.
Boo, it was great.